This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's Friday, March 16th, 2018. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. Brisk and cold, limited sunshine today, a high of 38. We'll have the five-day forecast coming up.
Well, the noon business hour is presented by Old Second Bank, and it's rather appropriate this day before St. Patrick's Day because the three major indices are all in the green. Let's get the latest in the markets from Elisa Parenti at Bloomberg.
That's right, Rob and Chris. Although the day's gains are not enough to push the benchmarks to weekly wins, but we are still higher. The Dow up 140 points, 25,013 is the level. That's a gain of more than 0.5%. NASDAQ adding 12, S&P up 11. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is higher by 0.75%. New home construction cooled by more than expected last month, down 7% overall, on a big reversal in the number of projects started for multifamily dwellings, such as apartment buildings. They tumbled 26% last month after about the same size increase in January. Single family home starts did jump 3%. Building permits, which show home builders plans for coming months, fell 5.7%, also more than expected. And consumer sentiment is soaring. According to the University of Michigan, Americans say they are more confident about their current finances than they've been in decades. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
On today's Noon Business Hour, we're going to be talking about the economy, which just continues to show that it's pretty strong. Also, a deal is made on the O'Hare expansion project, and we'll have a lot more on the markets and also all things leading to finance here on the Noon Business Hour.
And it's Entrepreneur Friday. We'll talk to somebody who left the exciting world of management consulting to enter the food space. And Apple's taking a field trip to Chicago to make an announcement about education.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
City of Chicago has untangled a snag with American Airlines and is now moving ahead with the expansion of O'Hare Airport. We're going to learn all about this ambitious plan in our next segment. Right now, we're talking about several closely watched economic reports out today. Let's get highlights from Gus Fauché, chief economist at PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Gus, we're looking at consumer sentiment is higher. Job openings look good. Industrial output. What's going on here?
We have an economy that is firing on all cylinders. So consumer spending is growing. Businesses are in good shape with the tax cut and increased production. Foreign economy is doing well. So the one piece of not as good news was housing starts were down in February, but I think that's temporary, and overall conditions look pretty solid for the U.S. economy right now.
Does the Trump administration get credit for this? Does that happen so soon with a new administration?
This is a continuation of the trend that we've seen over the past few years. We've had a little bit stronger growth in 2017 and now in 2018. I think some of that is due to the tax cuts that we saw at the end of last year. So I think the Trump administration deserves some credit, but I do think that this is how the economy has been over the past two or three years.
Let's talk about the job openings. And even though some economists say we're at or near peak employment, a lot of companies are still looking for a lot of people. So if you are in the job market these days, where are some places you should look?
I think that things are looking pretty good right now throughout the economy. So, we do hear from manufacturers that they're having difficulty in hiring. We do hear from construction firms that they're looking for workers. But other industries are hiring as well. So business and professional services, leisure, hospitality. So I think the job growth is pretty broad-based across industries right now.
And then when it comes to housing starts, the housing starts fell more than expected in February, but it seems more or less that, we talk about peak oil, that we've reached peak house, that we simply just can't keep up with the demand.
The decline in housing starts was all on the multifamily side, so all in apartments and condominiums. Single-family housing starts were actually up. So I think that there is room for further growth, particularly on the single-family side. I think that we do have people moving back into the housing market after they perhaps left after the big bust in the housing market with the Great Recession. So I do think that there will be further growth in single-family construction in particular throughout 2018 and 2019, even if we do see mortgage rates move higher.
Gus, the expansions do not last forever. And 10 years ago, we were sinking into recession, and the economy has been expanding for the last 9 years or so. How do you know when it kind of falls off, when there's going to be a recession?
You're looking for indications of weakening, and right now we're not seeing that. So, I think the consumers are continuing to spend, businesses are continuing to hire. We still see strong demand for construction. The global economy is doing well. So I'm not concerned about a recession in 2018, particularly because we're going to get support from the tax cuts and then also the federal spending increases that we saw as part of the budget bill last month. So, I think 2019, maybe that's more of a concern. What happens with the stock market? Do we see a more significant correction there? But I think for this year, at least, things look pretty solid, and I think we'll see expansion throughout the rest of 2018.
Thanks a lot, Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Coming up, O'Hare expansion set to take off.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The city of Chicago is moving forward with its plans to expand O'Hare Airport now that it's solved a disagreement over gates with American Airlines. Let's find out where things stand now from Greg Hines, columnist for Crane Chicago Business. Greg, welcome back to the program. $8.5 billion expansion project at O'Hare. How close are we to seeing shovels go into the ground?
Oh, it's going to be a couple of years before we actually see any work, but there's already some work underway, which is kind of tied into this, and it's an incredibly complicated thing. But by all indications, this thing actually it's a big old huge plane, and it's starting to take off.
At one time, O'Hare was the undisputed champion in terms of being the world's busiest airport, but now it's rubbing shoulders with Atlanta and even LAX in terms of takeoffs and landings. How critical is this expansion in terms of keeping O'Hare competitive?
I would say that of all the things that everybody is talking about doing to help our economy, turning around O'Hare and getting it fully back on its feet and in top-notch shape is probably the most significant economic development project for the Chicago region in a quarter century, if not longer. That airport is absolutely critical to almost every aspect of the city's ability to compete, of the kind of jobs we want, of the big law firms and accountancies. Everybody depends, the whole, for instance, downtown, almost all those businesses that are here depend on quick access in and out of town. It's important to trade. It's important to manufacturing. It's critical. And as you correctly suggest, O'Hare, for a variety of reasons, kind of sat on its laurels for a while. If you remember, for a long time, people out in the suburbs, Republicans ran Springfield. They didn't want to add any runways, even though other cities were. It was expensive. We didn't want to do it. United ran into financial problems. They're the top carrier. Well, finally, after a lot of hard work, the stars seem to be aligning, and it looks like we're actually going to do some stuff there that should have been done a while ago.
What did Mayor Emanuel give to American Airlines here in this deal?
Well, all we know is what
that's
saying,
what it is, right?
Yes, which isn't necessarily – all we know is what they're saying, which isn't necessarily reality. But envision, if you would, two kids are both kind of screaming. The other one's got more marbles, Mama, than I do. These two are real fierce competitors. Neither wants to let the other get any leg up. A few months ago, American started to build five new gates. Then the city came in and decided to give five gates to United to make up for it. American has its nose out of joint, so now they're going to work with the city to expedite the construction of three additional gates for it. United says it's happy. American says it's happy. Whether those three agreements are actually going to happen or not, we don't know, because there's a lot of telecom lines and equipment that has to be moved where the gates would go. But it's been enough that everybody proclaims victory, and everybody says they're all for passage of this big new $8.5 billion plan at the city council meeting on March 28th.
Thanks a lot, Greg Hines, columnist, Crane Chicago Business. WBBM News Time, 12:25. Let's get the latest from the markets now. Sponsored by Baird. From Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Rob, the Dow higher by 103 points. We are just shy of 25,000. The NASDAQ up a fraction. S&P higher by 6. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg up 0.2%. Oil futures higher by more than 1.5%, gaining $1.03. We're at $62.22 a barrel. For a check of the grains markets, we turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've had mostly lower prices in corn and wheat for the day. Corn's been down 3.75 to up 1 at the moment. July down 2, December down 1 at 4.05 1/4. Beans have been up 8.5 to down 1. They've been up most of the day. The moment, November's up 5.75 at 10.39. And wheat's been down 13 and soft, 14 in Kansas City to up 2 to 3. The moment, July wheat soft is 4.88 3/4, down 7.25. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. With business at 25 and 55. Live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are a little higher. We'll see what's impacting the markets.
Entrepreneur Friday, we meet the founder of a Chicago company that's received an innovation award for its efforts in producing natural foods.
Apple is set to make an education-related announcement later this month. It'll be made at Lane Tech College Prep here in the city.
More than 1,000 high school students in Downers Grove are given detentions for taking part in this week's school violence walkout.
Investigators look for answers in the deadly collapse of a pedestrian bridge in Florida.
Wall Street, the Dow up about 96 points, the NASDAQ down a point, S&P 500 up by 5.5.
AccuWeather says brisk and cold with clouds and limited sunshine today, a high of 38. It's 34 degrees in Chicago under partly sunny skies, and the noon business hour continues, presented by Old Second Bank.
Well, the markets are pretty much settled today. Well, let's talk about that with Brian Battle, Director of Trading at Performance Trust Capital Partners here in Chicago. The markets are kind of calm today, Brian, so that gives us an opportunity to take a look at what we've been watching for the last few weeks.
That's right, Chris. And so we'll take unchanged or up a little bit after we've had about a four-day slump here where there's been a lot of headline risk and the markets have been trading on and off. But so we'll take unchanged as a win. Today, you know, as you said, the S&P and the Dow are both up a little bit. We have financials and industrials leading. So we do have quadruple witching hour where futures and option contracts on indexes and individual stocks expire. So sometimes it can get a little dicey, but so far so good today. We're up about 100 in the Dow, and as you said earlier, about 9.5 in the S&P. So quiet news here today, and we'll take that as a win after this week.
Yes, without the volatility, right now the economy is looking good, and except for the volatility on Wall Street, the markets are pretty good. What can we count on in the future?
So we've had pretty good economic numbers, and we're just leaving earnings season. So businesses have told us what they're going to make and what they expect to make going forward. So earnings season was good. So now we're going to look forward more to more economic news. So the economic calendar next week has home sales. But I think the thing that's looming on the horizon for the market most recently is, first of all, there's been a lot of turmoil in Washington about who's in the White House, who's in, who's out. That seems like political drama, but depending on who has what seat in the White House gives us an indication of policy. So is there going to be another tax cut this year? Are they going to get immigration figured out? So we'll be watching what's going on in Washington very closely. And then next week, probably even more importantly, we have a federal open market committee. The Federal Reserve decides what to do about short-term interest rates next week. So March 21st, there's going to be a rate decision. This is the first meeting with the new Fed chairman. Janet Yellen is out, and Jerome Powell is in as the new Fed chairman. So this is his first meeting. The market is expecting a rate increase. So I think short-term, we're going to see what the increase is. what the commentary is, because the Federal Reserve always sends out a text accompanying the rate increase, which we're expecting to happen. But the real threat maybe coming up next to markets is, are higher rates going to be able to stop this nine-year-old rally?
Oil spiked above $62 a barrel. It's still there at this moment. Any reason why the kind of the mini run up in the price of oil?
Yeah, so there's oil is a global commodity, so there is tension in the U.S. on how much we can drill, and so there was a rig, oil rig count came out maybe a little bit better than expected today, but more importantly is the longer-term trend in oil. So we've been above 60 for a little while. It seems that there is more supply, which is good, but the increase in price in oil lately has been because of some of the turbulence in the Middle East. So that is a temporary condition. The market supply and demand equation still looks like there's going to be way more supply than there is demand as the world goes less fossil fuel intensive, cars get more gas efficient, and you know, solar and other energy sources come online. So the short-term spike seems to be political, and the longer-term trend, I'd say, for oil is probably heading lower. But we can stay high for a little while here, above 60 for sure.
And let's talk about a productivity question for you, and that is, as we approach after the noon hour on the Friday of the second day of the first round of the NCAA tournament, how much business is actually going to get done between now and the close of the markets at 3 o'clock and the close of business at 5?
That is a fantastic question, Rob, and that is definitely a productivity drag. I want to say it's a productivity killer. It's a productivity drag, certainly in capital markets. The NCAA does attract a lot of attention. It's on TV screens all over the country. I guess it depends on who you're rooting for. It depends how much productivity you get out of your workforce, but it's definitely a slowdown. But certainly, and maybe we'll unite the country here during March, and we can all focus on something we can all cheer for.
And is this, if you want to time your investments or try to make a little money off of this, big sports events, whether it's March Madness or the NFL playoffs in January, could you potentially invest in some restaurant chains or beer companies and try and ride that a little bit?
So it would be that you could do that, but that's going to be so highly regional, because all the ACC teams get knocked out, nobody's going to Buffalo Wild Wings during the tournament. So it'd be highly conditional on the outcome of the event. It'd be very hard to do. It's a great idea. It'd be really hard to execute.
Well, thank you very much, Brian Battle, Director of Trading, Performance Trust Capital Partners, based in Chicago. Ahead in Entrepreneur Friday, a Chicago company that's scoring points with the clean food crowd.
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday, and this afternoon we're joined by the winner of a 2017 Chicago Innovation Award. Caitlin Smith is founder and CEO of Simple Mills in Chicago. Caitlin, welcome to the program, and I'd say welcome back to WBBM. And let's ask you about your process that took you from being a management consultant, a very exciting field, and then jumping into business for yourself as the founder and CEO of Simple Mills. Tell us about that journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. So I started this company about 4.5 years ago. I had cleaned up my diet, taken out a lot of the processed food, a lot of sugar. And when I did, my joint pain went away, my seasonal allergies went away, I had loads more energy, and it really occurred to me that the food that we're eating is making us sick. And with that information, I just I couldn't sit still, and I had to do something about it. And so I actually sat on my porch one afternoon and brainstormed probably 10 different ways that I could change what people are eating. And one of the ideas that occurred to me was starting a company that would really clean up the ingredient decks of the products in the center aisles, and that's what we've done. So Simple Mills today, we make crackers, cookies, and baking mixes out of simple whole food ingredients, things like almond flour and coconut flour and coconut sugar, things that have more vitamins and minerals and protein than the traditional products in the center aisles that have tons of carbs and sugar.
How have you used kind of the lessons that you learned from your previous life in business to the business that you run?
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't do this without without my background in management consulting, honestly. Today we've got a team of 30 people, and I think some of the biggest things have just been about the business basics. So what different processes look like in companies, using analytics to drive your decision making, how to build a strong culture and a strong team so that everyone's communicating clearly and driving toward the same goal. Things that are just really important for making sure that the business hums along and is able to scale the learning curve really quickly.
You're being sold, your product's being sold in 11,000 stores. Yeah, this is an interesting point. It seems to be a very smart a step to take is the hiring veterans of companies like Kraft and General Mills who've been there to help you forge your way forward.
Yeah, for sure. It's been such a help to have a number of the members of our leadership team. They do have big food backgrounds. They became kind of disenchanted with selling products that were that they didn't feel were the best for consumers, and so they joined our team and are really helping us move quickly, and they know right away what's the fastest way to do something or what's the cheapest way to do it or which marketing tactics actually work.
What are you working on right now?
Well, we just launched a brand new product called our soft baked cookies. So they've got 6 grams of sugar, and they're made out of almond flour, ready to eat, right off the shelf. So that's one of our latest products. But we're always working on new things and trying to think about different ways to make it easier to eat real food, easier and tastier. By the way, you're never going to eat it if it doesn't taste great. So that's a really important part of our product development process.
Caitlin Smith, founder and CEO of Simple Mills in Chicago, our Entrepreneur of the Week this Entrepreneur Friday. Thank you for joining us and sharing your story. Still to come, Apple will use a Chicago school as the backdrop for an announcement involving education.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Apple is set to make what the company calls an education-focused announcement on March 27th, and it's going to be made here in Chicago at Lane Tech College Prep High School. We're talking with Mark Gurman, who is consumer technology reporter at Bloomberg in San Francisco. Mark, thanks for joining us today. What do we know about the announcement?
Yeah, thank you for having me, Chris and Rob. I appreciate it. So this is going to be an education-related announcement. It's going to be Apple's first announcement, keynote address specific to this topic in about 6 years. The last time they did this was in 2012 to announce iBooks Author, a platform for users to be able to create, you know, digital textbooks, very education-oriented. But the change up here is that, like you said, it's happening at a high school, one in the Chicago area. Apple's done coding programs. Apple executives are close to the mayor of Chicago. There's a lot of, you know, tied goals in the education world between Apple and Chicago, so it sort of makes sense for it to be there. In terms of what Apple's going to announce, they have a slew of software education-oriented programs already. There's a few more that they're working on, such as a way for developers to make education apps a little more simple for students and teachers to integrate with. There's also a cheaper version of the iPad as well as the MacBook laptop in the works. Both of those products are typically sold in bulk to students or education institutions and teachers as well. So it would make sense for there to be sort of a trio of updates there, one on the software side and two on the hardware.
Isn't this kind of a continuing a very long tradition of Apple being inside the educational space? And I say this as somebody who had Apple IIe's in grade school 30 years ago. So Apple's been partnering with education for a long time.
Yeah, that's where Apple's roots are. Apple's roots, you know, go down to designers, video editors, photographers, but education has always been a very core component of the company's MO. And it's been a while since they made a big splash in the education field in terms of a formal announcement. Like you said, they used to sell Macs oriented towards education. I remember in my days, I think I'm a little bit younger than you, but the educational, you know, devices was the eMac, sort of a big, cheaper desktop computer. In computer labs across, you know, high schools and elementary schools, also the iBook laptop, that white, slimmer, cheaper laptop, the iBook G4. So it'll be interesting to see if they're going to go back toward that direction.
And the tablets now are so ubiquitous inside educational institutions. The idea of proposing giving them to students is not nearly as far-fetched or luxurious as it might have seemed 5 years ago.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Earlier when the iPad first launched, there was a huge education push around it, but it wasn't very economical, right, in terms of both the production of the devices and being able to purchase them. The original iPad, it came at a $500 base price. Now you can get iPads in the couple $100 range, and I think this is the direction Apple's going. I can see them imagining, I can imagine perhaps a larger partnership with the Chicago school district and the school system about providing iPads, you know, for every student. They wanted to make a big splash announcement in the Los Angeles area about that a few years ago. That fell apart. It'll be interesting to see if they're going to give that another shot.
Well, thanks for the info. Mark Gurman is consumer technology reporter at Bloomberg in San Francisco. You'll find past programs later today, podcast of this hour, at WBBMNewsRadio.com and AllNewRadio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's get the latest on business from Elisa Parenti at Bloomberg.
Well, we continue to see gains for the Dow, although not quite what we saw earlier, Rob. Right now, the blue chip's up 88 points or a third of a percent. The NASDAQ is lower by 5, S&P up 4. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index up 0.4%. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg, I should say, had been higher earlier and now up again, about 0.4%. Housing starts are down. A reversal in apartment construction cast a shadow on rising single-family projects. Housing starts dropped 7% in February after rising a month earlier. And the University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index advanced this month to a 14-year high. A gauge of current conditions is at the highest since 1946. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.